it says. What says?
Life.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. How many people can you attest? Can you give a testimony that God answered the prayer? Amen. God has answered you in your life. Amen. Now I'm going to use this because I have so much fun with the people who were out. I'm going to put this like a Red Sox fan today. No. The Red Sox won the World Series a couple years ago. How many know that? They all know that. And we were out there, and we were out performing, and we would sing Sweet Caroline, Judy, right after they won. And the places that we performed, the concerts out, they would get up, Bill, and they would sway, and the ba-ba-ba, and the whole thing. Well, as the months passed, and the years passed, and for the last 2 years, they finished in last place, Sergio. When we sing Sweet Caroline now, it's like, oh, yeah. Right, right?
Yeah.
So I'm saying to each and every one of you, and I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip, but sometimes we act like Red Sox fans. How many can tell me that God has answered a prayer in your life?
Yes.
So when we're singing about Jesus, now you don't have to stand, if you don't feel like standing. I want you to be comfortable when you're praising the man. And I want you to clap, but I want you to get out of that comfort zone once in a while and say, you know, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm praising God in heaven, amen? And if I look a little foolish, it's not on you. It ain't on me, because I love him, amen? Because he answered prayers for me. So when you sit there saying that, I kind of think like sometimes, and I'm guilty too, that we act like Red Sox fans. Oh, it's been 2 years, we've been in last play. Well, God didn't answer prayer this week. I've been praying in here, and he's a... I'm going to be a little quiet because he's going to be happy about it. When he answers my prayer, I'll get all excited. I might call two people. You buy a new car, I bet you call 20 people. George Marsh shoots a big deer, I guarantee he's going to call 30 people. When God answers a prayer, you might tell your neighbor. We got to tell more people, amen? We got to get fired up for our God. And you pray, I don't care what you got. Psalm number 31, would you sing with us? And sing even more if you've decided to do what this song says. Amen?
Amen.
Say amen, church. Let them hear you. Let them know that you're here this morning to receive God's word. Amen? You come here today, so receive what you came to get. Let's receive it. Say, I'm coming. I want to receive. Give them praise, church. I have to decide. Amen. God is good. There you go. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Holler out to God. Sometimes, you know, God says, sometimes you got to holler out to him. Amen. That's knocking. Remember the Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. We talked about that last week. Knocking means you make a noise. Amen. And you can ask God not to tarry. You know, you can always be with that. Say, hey, Lord, I believe and I'm hanging on your scripture. Don't tarry. You want it to be God's timing. But sometimes you just got to yell out, Lord, do you see me? Do you hear me? Don't be afraid. It shows faith. Amen.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. If we want it, you receive. No, you stay standing. Gene's going to sing. But if we want it on earth as it is in heaven, what do we have to do, church? We have to change every day. We have to give up what we think, amen, and give it to God. We have to change in order for this to be heaven. We all have to walk closer to God. You're going to be glad you're here today, amen. I think I say that a lot on Sundays, but if we're preaching God's word and you receive it, amen, there's gladness. And when you leave here, you're going to be stronger in the Lord, amen. How many want to be stronger in the Lord this morning? Praise the God. Let's all read together. Psalm 118. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. That's our Lord and Savior Jesus. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Will we do that? Save now, I pray. Oh, Lord, I pray. Send now prosperity. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar.
You are my
Hallelujah. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. For how long, church?
Forever.
And whose God is that?
Our
God. Hallelujah. Don't get quiet now. Remember, don't be Red Sox fans. There's so many testimonies that I want to give. They're in my heart. So many things that God is leading me in my heart to tell you. But the one testimony I will give you today is for everybody. Not that you don't know, but I'll never tire of telling you. This book is full of love. Amen. This book is full of promises. This book is full of God talking to who? Amen. Prophets talking about Jesus for us. Prophets talking about goodness for us. Blessings. Proverbs. Amen. I'm going to tell you what I believe. Somebody was asked on TV the other day, somebody, and I watched, and they said, do you believe Adam and Eve? And he said, well, some people, I really believe that that is personal to people, what they rather believe, whether Adam and Eve were real or not. And I tell you this because there are churches, some churches, denominations, they don't say that Adam and Eve didn't exist in a sense. They say it was just a story, that God opened that door to a story to introduce us to life. Amen? And that's what some churches teach. And I understand that about 33% of the people who read the Bible take it literally. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to commit and tell you, I believe that Adam and Eve existed. I believe it. Why? Because the Bible tells me that story. Amen? And it talks more about them and talks about their lives and talks about their children and things that happen, and the genealogies go back. Amen? I believe this. Now, the people that were asking the question, I can't tell you what exactly they believed, but I perceived that they were wise in their own ideas and thoughts, and I believe that they perceived that it was just a story. And I believe some people think that because you take this book literally, that you're kind of being foolish. And I tell you, that's exactly the way God called it. He saved this for the foolish. He saved this for those who are willing to receive it. He didn't give it to the people with knowledge, right, Dominic? He didn't, because the Pharisees had what? Knowledge. The scribes probably knew the Bible better than anybody because they kept copying pages and they couldn't change, so they probably knew the Bible by heart, but they didn't know God standing in front of them. Amen. They were so wise in their thoughts and their ideas and their power that they forgot to realize that God was with them. I never want to get there. Amen. I want to tell people that whatever in this book, I believe. Jonah in the belly of the fish. It doesn't say the whale, amen? There's plenty of fish in the sea big enough to swallow a man. You know, all you have to do is look it up to see. I believe that David slayed Goliath. Amen. I believe David. I believe the three Hebrew boys in the fire because Jesus refers to them. Amen. And when Jesus talks about them, I'm saying he's talking about Jonah for a reason. Amen. He's talking about it because it was a sign. He was a prophet. A prophet to who? So my testimony today is simply this. This book, the more you know about this book, then that's the more you know about our God. Our God. Amen. And where does our God live? Hallelujah. There's a lot of people talking about Christians. You see them on TV talking about us Christians and what we believe and how we act. And those people, they know nothing about what it's like to be a Christian, what it means to be, that we accept everybody, that we love everybody. Amen. That our hearts are open to pray for anybody. And you don't have to go through an application to join Jesus. Amen. You don't have to fill out papers to join. You don't have to say, I'm going to join the club. You're going to say, Lord, I believe. And you get on your knees and accept him. Amen. That's what God calls us to do. Amen. So my testimony today is to tell you that your pastor will commit to saying, I believe everything that's in it. I believe that God created Adam out of the dust of the earth. I believe he created Eve. I believe the Garden of Eden. I believe it even tells us where it existed. Between the rivers where it existed. And I believe that God said it will be back that way again someday. And it also says in the Bible that he's going to destroy this earth. Have you ever read that? Deacon Gary, read that. He's going to destroy what we think is the earth. And he's going to make it anew again. Amen. I believe that he created this. I believe that he created this out of nothing. And I believe that it took him 7 days. But I also believe this. I also believe that this earth could be 200 billion years old, if scientists want to say that. Because I'm not going to tell God what time is. There was no time when he created. He said that was the first day and the second day, but there was no clock on the wall for him to look at. Amen. So maybe, and if you look at, listen to what God said, how it all had to take its time to be formed. This wasn't formed in a week. The air pulling away and the land and the seas and the land drying, those took thousands and thousands of years. Amen. I believe this. Because I believe God. And I'm telling you that anything else, from my heart, just as my opinion now, anything else causes confusion. Because if you don't believe Adam and Eve, you might not believe Jonah. And you might not believe another story, then another. And all of a sudden it becomes just another book about something and some people. Amen. So my testimony today is God is real. That Jesus is real. That this book is for our love and for our comfort. The more you know about this book, the better your life's going to be at home. Amen. The more you know about this book, the better you're going to love your wife and your husband and your children. Amen. Does that mean things are going to be perfect? No. Does that mean we're not going to make mistakes? Of course not. The Bible says we fail every day. I'm raising my hand. I fail every day. You know, some of my ideas are not the right ideas. Anybody could say, can you say that about your ideas? You got an idea and you want to do it? It might not be the right idea. But as long as you're focused on who? God will make them right. He will make them right. He will bring them to the center. That's our God. That's your God. And that's this book, my testimony. And let's pray together. Lord, I believe. We believe. It's that simple. We believe. We believe what you've given us to read. We believe the prophets of the Old Testament. We believe the writing of Moses. We believe the writing of David, the writing of Samuel, the writings that Solomon gave us when he asked you for wisdom, and you blessed him, and he wrote them down on paper for thousands of years for us to read again. I believe John, Mark, Luke, and I believe them, Matthew, Peter. I believe them. I believe when they said they saw you and walked with you. And I believe the miracles that you performed then and you're performing now. I believe. I simply believe. And that simple belief, that faith, lifts me up when I'm down. That faith gives me comfort when I'm sad. That faith gives me strength to stand outside my comfort zone and take a step with you. That faith allows me to see things that man said are impossible, because my God told me in his book that there's nothing impossible with you. I believe that he's in the miracle business today. I believe that there's so many souls yearning to hear what we're talking about today. I believe that I meet somebody who loves God so much I can tell right away, because there's joy in their eyes, joy in their heart. There's a hug, there's a handshake, there's a difference with somebody who truly loves God. I believe. I don't need a wise man to tell me. I don't need somebody smarter than me to tell me what they think, because you've already told me what I need to think, that you love me, that you pray for me, that you pray for all believers. I want to be like John, Lord. There was Matthew. There was Peter. There was James. There were all the disciples, but there was one who wanted to lay next to you, who wanted to be near you, who wanted to talk to you, who just loved you with admiration and didn't want anything else but to be near you. And they called him the disciple whom Jesus loved, when it was really the disciple who loved Jesus freely and openly with all his heart. I want to be called that someday, Lord, because I believe. I want these people in this church to leave here today believing. If there's things in their life, Lord, that they are arguing with their mates, or if there's trouble at home, I want them to look in the mirror and say, what can I do to change this? God, help me to change this. God, I'm going to trust that love never fails. I'm going to trust your word. I'm going to do more to make the life in my house better. I want to make it better, so I need to do more. And then the people that I'm with, the other people, my mates, will help me. They'll see. And things will change when I change. When I change, things will change, and I walk towards you. I believe that this changes lives. I wish I knew this when I was a teenager, going through life, to know which way to look, which way to turn, knowing that I'm not alone. I know that would have changed choices, but now I have this now, and I'm thankful. I pray that young people will reach out to other young people and tell them, hey, there's a better way. There's a true way, a way that never goes away, a way that continues to bless you and others. I believe, Lord, in miracles today for all of us. I believe in Jesus' name. Amen.
Nothing else, we're going to be the clappingest church in all of the valley. Amen. People are going to watch. Those people, all they ever do is clap. You betcha. We're giving praise to our God. Amen. How would we want to not do that? Come on, let's not be rich.
I better start here. My wife isn't here to tell me. I love that. Matthew 8, Dominic, we're going to go. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. How many people? Yes. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. How many lepers? And how many people? So you're telling me we can get to God, amen, no matter how many people are around him, amen? This man wanted to be where? Next to God. And he made it to where?
next to God. And then Jesus put his hand on, touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You bet he was praising him. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now that may sound a little confusing, amen? If you read that and you don't have a Bible, but if you have the Bible that we've been passing out, you go down and look at the notes, and you'll understand. It said the law required. See, he's got a note on the scripture. It said the law required a healed leper to be examined by the priest. And that's a dude from the book of Leviticus. Jesus wanted this man to give his story firsthand to the priest to prove that his leprosy was completely gone so that he could be restored to his community. Isn't that beautiful? That's what it meant. If you didn't have a Bible like the one we've been passing out, you wouldn't have had that little extra note to oh, I get that. Now, say that with me. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Pleading with him. A centurion. Now, you might not know what a centurion is, Miss Pat. You might say it sounds like a big word. But if you have this Bible that we give out everybody, you'll know that it's an officer of the military, and he has 100 people underneath him, Christine. 100. Century. 100. It calls him a centurion. That's all that is. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another one, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, who heard it? He marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith. Say that word. Not even in Israel. And I ask you this. He finds that the servant healed. Did the servant, was he a Christian? We don't know. What healed him? The prayer of faith. Understand this. Understand how important, how big prayers are. Amen. This man was laying sick, and this man came and, would you heal my servant? And Jesus did heal his servant. The servant didn't know about it. Somebody else, ready, prayed for him. Amen. So it's not even your faith, Pat, that would get you healed if we need. We're going to pray for you. George Mako will pray for you. So it doesn't matter what you think. You don't even have to know. Amen. But we pray for people. Amen. And this tells us right here that God answers what? Hallelujah. Good job. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, imagine that, but rather grew worse. It happens. And when she heard about Jesus, what she did? She heard about him. You know him, amen? She heard about him. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, listen, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Children, we know him and we don't have that kind of faith, amen? You see what I'm saying? She said, I heard about this guy and I know that if I just touch his garment. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, I love this part. He said, who touched my clothes? For his disciples, and I could see this. This is, I had to get a multitude of people. And the disciples said, you see a multitude thronging around you and you ask me, who touched you? I could see that. See, that's what makes this book real. You could see that. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, she still didn't know who he was. Knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, he called her what? Was she a believer before? No, she heard about him. Amen. He said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Hallelujah. Your faith has made you well. She heard about him. And she had that kind of... The centurion heard about him and said, you just say the word and I'll believe. Not know. I've never seen such faith in all of Israel. Amen? Faith. This book This church and this pastor, I am here for one reason. You might remember this. I am here for one reason: to increase your faith and his presence and his love in your lives. Amen. Because as I do that for you, you do that for me. As I put the studies together, I feel his presence deeper inside of me. I see the truth of his word. Amen. And my only reason to be here, the only reason this book has been written for us, amen, not for churches, not for all the everything else, it was written for you to increase your what? Because it is impossible to please God, Bill, without faith. Amen. It's that simple. You don't believe God, you don't have any need for God, he can't do anything for you. Amen. Not that he wasn't, because he's got mercy and grace. Hallelujah. To become new, we need to be stronger and help lead others and to help you. Hallelujah. And we're going to get back to that. How you all doing this morning? Good job. Sit back and relax. Last week we talked about God's promises and the way to receive them. Amen. How many remember that we talked about that? From mystery, right, Miss Mary? We went from God is mysterious to expectation. Did anybody expect anything this week? I hope so. I did. Hallelujah. We mentioned that God can never be manipulated, Judy. We can never manipulate him. But we know where God's words are true and his promises cannot be broken or changed. How many know that? God's promises can't be broken or changed. And it says in 2 Timothy, I love this little scripture. It says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. You might say, what does that exactly mean? When you feel lost or forgotten, anybody feel lost or forgotten ever? When you feel God is not with you, anybody ever feel that way? After praying or asking or seeking or knocking, you may reach, Dominic, the end of your faith. You may be at the end. You have no more faith. Your faith is gone. The Bible says he remains faithful. He's heard your prayer. He's answering your prayer. Amen. God remains faithful to you. It is then he carries you through because he cannot deny himself. Amen. He cannot deny the promises that he made you. Amen. How many know that? You got to claim that. This is yours. Amen. After you reach these points in life, has anybody ever been to the end of your faith? Oh, you all been there. God answers that. Listen to what it does. Adds another measure of faith. The Bible says we all have a measure of faith, Jim. When God answers a prayer, whatever the prayer is that is, it begins to add measures of faith. Amen. Faith is. Can you say that with me? Faith is. Is. It's real. It grows as we grow and it never ends. It is what brings us closer to God in every step of our lives. The substance of things hoped for. Whose things? Our things, amen? The church's things? No. Your neighbor's things? No. Whose things, Chuck? Your things. The substance of things hoped for. Whatever is going on in your life, the evidence of things not seen, and I will show you what that means. Let me tell you about faith. It gives thanks to the answer before they appear. God says it. I believe it. He will answer. I give him the praise and glory. Now, that's faith. Seeing it, the evidence of things not seen. You see the answer. So you thank him for the... And other people say, you're crazy. I don't see it yet. You say, yeah, but I see it because God is going to deliver. So I claim the prize. I claim what I'm praying for. Amen? Because that's faith. Amen? I'm hoping, and now I'm seeing, and now I'm thanking before it comes. We are believers. We must believe in the evidence of things not seen. You must believe that. Every day in your life, you must believe the evidence of things not seen. We don't make believe. Now, and I'm going to tell you, you're not going to make believe there's no pain. You don't make believe, oh, I feel great when you don't, or when you're sick, or when you're worried. You don't make believe that you're not. But you rise up. You thank him during that, saying, Lord, I know you have an answer. I'm not going to stay in this place. I know you have an answer. So you say, yeah, I don't feel good today. That's what you say. That's the truth. Amen. But you also say, Lord, I know I prayed to you and you're going to take care of this. I must trust in Jesus. I must. I'm telling you, I must trust in Jesus. Every day with everything. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I cannot do it alone. He must carry me through. That's for me. With every victory, it brings me another seed closer. Amen. Every victory in my life, Chuck, brings me another seed closer to who? God. Because faith is. is. Faith is something that grows every day. When he answers a prayer, your faith is, he answers a prayer here, your faith gets larger. Amen. And we forget. We forget the prayers he answered. I can tell that we all do, because it's human nature to forget all the things that God has blessed you with and continue wanting. But if you look back and see that he got you right here, he knows the engine doesn't stop here. How many know that? He's not stopping today. He loves you today. Amen. He loves you today. Hallelujah. I know that he will always make a way in his way. And I tell you then, I'm going to tell you as a pastor, I make mistakes. Yeah. My ideas are not always the right ones. I admit it, right? I have ideas. I have dreams. I have visions that I want. I want to see God. I want to see all this goodness. But the way I want to do it, how many know it isn't always the right way? Does that ever happen to you? Maybe not. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. I need Jesus to always be my helper, my guide, and my protector. But I want that he will always make a way. And this is what I know about God. And this is what I can testimony to test you. God will always make a way. If you're focused on him, if you're focused on what you want and he's the center, you might be over here with an idea and God is saying, that's a great idea, but come over here. You might be over here, oh Lord, this is what I want to do. And he said, yeah, that's good. Come over here. I got it taken care of. See, he will close doors and he will open doors. And as long as you're praying to God, amen, it's never your idea anymore. It's his answer. Amen. Because his answer, guess what? Guess what his answers do, Judy? They bless everybody. Not just you. If you get a prayer answered and you're happy, guess what? Everybody else around you is happy because your prayer got answered. Everybody gets blessed. Amen. If we do good things in the church and the church gets full, who gets blessed? We all do. Amen. We all do. If somebody had a testimony over here and somebody over here needed to hear it, and you tell them that, say, really, God did that for you? Guess what? You blessed other people. Amen. Hallelujah. Give them praise. Hallelujah. Now, how y'all doing? You all right? Everybody with me today? I'm a little excited. I'm going to tell you what not to do. We must stop admitting that we are weak. Can I get an amen? We must stop admitting that we're scared or tired or worried or anything contrary to a child of God. Amen. You with me? We've got to stop saying it. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm worried about next week. Oh, Lord, I got this test coming up. Oh, I got this job interview. God is saying, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? We've got to stop saying it. And you know why? Here's why. What the Bible says, your words, oh, I'm scared. I don't know if I can do it. I'm tired. Where do they go? Here. And where do they go from here? Here. And the next thing you know, you believe it. God is up there saying, what are you doing? What are you doing over there? I said I'm going to answer your prayer. Come on. What are you? If you stay there, then when I answer your prayer, you got to go from here to there to get your prayer answered. Why are you? And when you start talking about how bad it is, how bad you feel, you start believing it, and nobody else can talk you out of it then, because you've made your mind up, because you've let it enter your spirit. Amen. God is, you become, listen, it's the truth. You become a wreck, Sergio. All the time God is answering your prayer, you become a physical wreck. You don't know what to do. And God is saying, you're better. Don't worry. You got it. God is putting in place your answered prayer. And this is the best part. Cindy, it doesn't matter what we think. Amen. It doesn't matter that we, whatever think. It's what God is doing that matters. Amen. You just wake up and say, I'm going to be stronger tomorrow. I'm going to be stronger this afternoon. I'm just going to be stronger in faith today. I know what I know, but I know God. Amen. So who are you going to trust? And I ask you again, and you don't have to, you answer this to yourself. What one thing did worry and doubt do for you this week? All week long, you've been complaining, or you've been worried, or you've been afraid, or you're worried about a job, you're worried about school. You're thinking, what good did that do for you? What did it add to you? Except draw other people. Oh, yeah, I'm talking to him. He's crazy. You ever talk to, my pastor used to say, be careful asking somebody, how are you? He said, be careful who you are. How you doing today? Because they just might tell you. Over and over and over again. God puts things together if we allow him. Remember, All our ideas are not always right. But if we're focused on God, He will bring them to pass in His way. And I love when He does that. Amen. I love to humble myself and say, you know, I had a great idea. I wanted to do, but it wasn't the right idea. But you see, I'm still praying. Amen. I'm still looking. I'm still hungry for the good things. Amen. But I'm humble enough and wise enough and gentle enough to say, you know, I was wrong about that. But I wasn't wrong about that. And God answered that. And He was happy that I was concerned about it. Amen. So I'm happy because guess what? Everybody gets blessed. That's what we see. Everybody holds on to their ideas and their thoughts and their ways. And if it isn't that way, it's the highway. How many have ever said that? Well, go on your own highway because God's got a highway with no traffic. He said, come with me. I will get you there in a way that you can't understand. If you got trouble at home, you got trouble, trust God. You say, how do I do that? Look in the mirror and say, what can I do, Lord? What can I do? I'm not happy about this, that, or this, or the other thing. And God will say, well, why don't you fix this and that in yourself and see what happens? And all of a sudden, you see love come together. You see your partner doing other things because you started the ball rolling with change. Amen? See, that's love. That's God. See, God said, I'll make a way if you let me. I'll make a way if you open the door for me. Hallelujah. And again, I have this here, the Red Sox enthusiasm. And I hate to pick on them, but it's been so much fun for me because you understand that. Listen, the Yankees haven't won the World Series since 2009. But we got 27 of them, Judy, so they could. But I see people when their team won the World Series, and they were so happy. Greg was with me. We see the rooms were shared, their hands were going back. And it's been 2 years, and nobody even, they look at you like, yeah, we've done that. See, we're Christians. We need to stand up for who? We need to tell other people about who? They're hungry for what you have. Trust me, don't believe what you see in the news. Don't believe what you see in the paper. The loudest voices are the smallest voices. Amen? They yell the loudest because they don't think anybody hears. We don't have to yell. We just have to tell people about God. Hallelujah. We can do this. Hallelujah. Now listen, He knows what you're going through. And I tell you to live in faith, walk in faith, love one another in a way you never thought you could. Lift each other, encourage each other. That's the day. That's today. That's what you can do. Lift each other, encourage each other. You think things are missing in your lives, then maybe you can begin by filling in the needs to allow those you love around you to fill in their needs. God will bless you. You must be willing to open up and allow Him. And again, I will just say this. I don't care what man says. I care what God says. I know what man says. I know what God says. I am a man of faith. Give Him praise, church. It is the act of faith that He's looking at. The act of faith. Just believing He did it for you. With us. Blessed Redeemer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. He changes things, heals, lifts up, helps. Thank you, Lord. He is so good. When we're in our trials and tribulations is when we seem to talk to Him the most. And sometimes that's what it takes for us to get closer to God. So He opens the door for that. Only that we draw closer and then He answers. And the blessings fall on everyone. When you have something on your heart, you're talking to Him a lot more than when things are good.
And God likes to see the things that are good. And He likes to see your joy and your good success. But He loves that fellowship. So sometimes if it takes when you're sick or worried or wondering about a job or school or wondering about life, He takes those moments to really enjoy you. Remember when He answers your prayer. When He answers your prayer, He knows that He's not going to have all that time with you again. Because you've answered, the prayer is answered, you're excited, you're going to go and run with that. And I just hope you say thank you every day. He knows that if He answered that prayer, you're going to have your heart and mind on other things too. And He's not going to have that special time with you. So take the time as you're waiting and praying to call it special time. He wants to bless you. But that time in waiting is a time of growth and warmth and love. He just knows when I give Him this answer, we're all going to rejoice, but I won't have His company like I have it now. What an awesome thought. Praise the Lord. Good day. However you see this, just know that this was real. As He took the wine, poured it into a cup, blessed and told His disciples, "This is My blood going to be shed for you." Understand this, church. The disciples really didn't know what He was talking about. They didn't really have a handle on it yet. They really didn't grasp it all yet. But you do. And He simply tells us in this church to do this in remembrance of Him. In Jesus' name. My wife, safe travel home. A good day today. Praying for healing for my friends and my loved ones, my family, jobs for people looking for jobs, somebody looking for a mate, praying for that. Hallelujah. The woman heard about Him. She just heard about Him. Praise God. The centurion heard about Him. His prayer healed his servant. He prayed, God heard, God answered. Praise God, we need to see it that way. Your prayers for other people get heard and God answers, regardless if we ever know the answer. When you pray to God with your heart for somebody else, God hears that prayer. So we said we pray for other people, how important that is and how big a thing it is, not a little thing. Praise God. Give Him praise, church.